Like Apple, Samsung expects lower year-end earnings as global smartphone makers suffer. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, Carlos Ghosn, former Nissan chairman, proclaimed his innocence in his first court appearance this morning in Japan. Mr. Ghosn has spent 50 days in detention while under investigation, but he hasn't been charged, and he has a right to appear before a judge under Japanese law. His lead lawyer, Motonari Otsuru, explained the proceedings.
The judge in the court today read out the facts regarding Mr. Ghosn's detainment, and the fact or the reasoning for his being detained is because there would be the potential risk of flight and also of tampering with evidence if he were to be released.
Now, no cameras were allowed in the courtroom, and there was a huge demand and only a few seats available. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes has more from Tokyo.
Well, I've only seen the court artists who were in there and have done pictures of him. There was a lottery for basically four places, and over 1,000 people applied for this lottery. So, unfortunately, I didn't get a seat. The court artists' descriptions and paintings, pictures of him, show definitely that he looks more gaunt, he's greyer, but he made a very robust and forthright defence of himself, as you would expect. He read from a prepared statement. He said, I have been wrongly accused of meritless and unsubstantiated allegations. He said he had not received any compensation from Nissan that was not disclosed. And he said he has always acted in an honourable and legal way with the knowledge and approval of executives within Nissan Corporation. He's gone back to his detention cell. His detention current period lasts until Friday. The court will then have to decide whether to release him on bail at that stage or to continue his detention. Or prosecutors can rearrest him for a fourth time if they have fresh allegations against him. This process is very far from over.
That's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Let's do the numbers. Fresh optimism is fueling global stock markets. In Europe, retail shares boosted by Christmas performance are leading benchmarks higher. Meanwhile, shares of Japanese tech giant SoftBank jumped nearly 6% after it reportedly scaled back a $16 billion investment in office-based provider WeWork. SoftBank is now said to be planning a $2 billion investment in the U.S. company. Samsung Electronics says its fourth quarter profits will be nearly 30% lower than the year before. The South Korean company blamed the fall on weak demand for memory chips and intensifying competition. The BBC's Sharanjit Lail reports from Singapore.
South Korea's biggest electronics firm is warning of a profit drop as memory chip demand slows. This comes on the heels of its arch rival Apple announcing a bleaker forecast, which it blamed on the slowdown in China. And it's particularly worrying for Samsung Electronics because it would mark its first drop in earnings for 2 years. The company expects to make nearly $10 billion for the last 3 months of 2018. Strong demand for memory chips had boosted earnings at the firm previously, even as it was embroiled in a bitter competition with Apple and Chinese rivals for its smartphones. But now the South Korean giant says lackluster demand and rising competition is darkening its outlook. Perhaps a welcome sign for investors looking at future financial performance, Samsung announced at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas that starting in spring, its new smart TVs will include Apple's iTunes. One analyst hailed it as a move that would benefit both companies. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Sharanjit Lail for Marketplace.
U.S.-China trade talks continue in Beijing today with optimism after leaders from both sides appeared positive. The tariffs, meanwhile, have hurt both economies, and China is spending more to counter a slowdown made worse by the spat. In Serbia and Eastern Europe, Chinese companies have acquired steelworks and mines, and the government in Belgrade is hoping that's just the start. The BBC's Guy Delaunay reports.
The Smederevo Steelworks is Serbia's only steel mill, and at one point, it was the country's biggest exporter. But it was heading for extinction when its owner, US Steel, pulled out. And the only bidder to come forward was the state-owned Chinese company, Hesteel. Sinisa Mali is Serbia's finance minister.
If you look at it from the perspective of an investor, you invest in a country of 7 million people. The government is stable and very responsible from the both fiscal and monetary policy. The operating costs are lower compared to the neighboring countries. Our labor force is very skilled.
Walk around Serbia's capital and you can see the country's omnivorous approach to inward investment. There's the massive Belgrade waterfront retail and residential development funded by the UAE. An enormous neon advert for Gazprom is a reminder of Russia's presence, and EU flags in the city centre offer a clue about the origin of most of the investments in Serbia. But recently, the most headline-grabbing moves have come from China. Business consultant Boris Milosevic worked on some of the deals.
What you're seeing now is not sudden, it's the product of establishing a cooperation, looking for the opportunities over a period of the last 10 years.
But what's in it for China? Why invest in steel?
They want to move internationally. Why can't a company? China saw a good opportunity in Serbia because we have a steel factory here in Serbia. Serbia couldn't sell it to virtually anyone.
For now, Serbia finds itself in a perfect position to attract Chinese investment. Smack in the middle of one of the main European trade routes, multiple free trade agreements in place, and far lower wages than most other countries. It's a state of affairs that may not last forever, but for now at least, it seems to be a mutually profitable relationship.
And that was Guy Deloney reporting from Serbia. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.